Pastor Jason Cooley here with OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And back here this week with another topic that I think is extremely important, one that concerns me a lot, and it's kind of a follow-up to what we talked about last week. We were talking last week about, you know, drugs and the, you know, the epidemic of school shooters and things like that. So, you know, we covered a lot of those things. And, you know, I want to talk to you this week more about, you know, why it's happening. We covered some of that in last week's broadcast, but here's the thing, okay? There's a reason why, and I want to focus, I want to narrow in a little bit. I want to narrow in on America's boys, the youth of America, the young men of America, America's boys. And I called this radio show, podcast, whatever you want to call it, America's Boys, Drugged, Deserted, Suicides and Shootings. And it really is going to show you kind of a snapshot of the situation with America's youth today. And I'm going to take a couple different sources, but I'm going to start with the main source, which is the Word of God. So if you've got your Bibles handy there, open them up to Isaiah chapter 3. And just one verse there, and then we're going to move on to Proverbs, and I'm going to show you some other things. I'm going to give you the reasons why this is happening in America. It's not just violence. We're going to talk about violence, though. It's not just video game violence. It's not just drugs and devils, like we talked about last week. It's more than that. It's the fact that America's boys have been deserted. The youth, the young men of America, they have lost their identity. They have been completely deserted. And until we realize this, we're never going to be able to really fix this. So, you know, there's a few things I remember looking at, and I think I took a picture of it here, and I'll get to that. I think I took a, yep, I did take a snapshot of that here. This is good. Okay. So I'm going to use that statistic there too, as well. But, let's get into it here. Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 12 says this, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them." Well, we've got an epidemic of that. And that's a shame. But we have an epidemic of that today. We've got America's youth running the country. I mean, all these kids out there protesting gun control. First of all, what do some kids know about how a government should be ran? The Bible says they're to be under governors and tutors until a time in which they can govern themselves. And kids that are eating Tide Pods are the wrong people to try to tell me what I'm supposed to be doing and how government is supposed to run. Now, they're to study, to learn, to grow, right, to get better at it. They're to do that. But they're not to be in charge of anything, all right? So, anyway, let's look at this. It says, "O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." Now, Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." That's still in the Bible. That's still true, by the way. And that's still vitally important to this situation that we're in right now in America. We wonder why this happened. Say, well, I don't believe it's real. Well, you can believe that. But I can't ignore the statistics of teen suicide, of shootings, of violence. I can't ignore those. So whether you believe something's real or not, in that sense, to this teaching, it doesn't really matter. These things are really happening. I've counseled people, I've watched youth, I've seen what they've done, I've seen teen pregnancies, I've seen it all. All right, let's move on here. One look at this generation and we can see very clearly something is wrong. One has to question, what in the world happened to our children? What has happened to the youth of America? This generation is so absolutely detached from reality. I mean, completely detached from reality. It's unbelievable. This generation thinks that guns are the problem. No, liberty is not the problem. Having liberty, maybe you giving your children too much liberty, a child left to himself bringing his mother to shame, and not governing them and teaching them, we're going to get to that. That's the problem. Parents are the problem. American society is the problem, not liberty. This generation is... Are our guns the problem? Hey, how about this? Are Tide Pods the problem? Congress actually had some kind of meeting about Tide Pods. They've been producing soap for years. Now, I ain't never one to eat it. Tide Pods are not the problem. Although they do look pretty cool when you look at them. They look kind of cool. They look like gummy bears or something. But or, you know, those little gummy packet things? But anyway, I wouldn't eat one because I know it's soap. I have a brain. But the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction driveth it far from him. Foolishness is bound, right, in the heart of a child. Absolutely bound in his heart. Just the way it is, friend. I mean, God made children to be taught, to be trained, to be nurtured, right? And foolishness is bound in their hearts. How in the world is this happening? I don't know, because foolishness is bound. The Bible says it. God's word says it very clearly. I'm going to show you some statistics today where scientists and psychologists, which I don't follow psychology, but when psychology agrees with the Bible, when their statistics don't lie, I mean, I'm just using their statistics, not their philosophies. Their philosophies is drug them, give them this, give them that, therapy. My answer is get saved and raise your children right. That's a short answer. There's more to it than that. We're going to get to that. And we're going to get to the violence and other things. How it has an effect on them. Okay? So we're going to talk about that. I think it's important. I don't think enough pastors are really talking about. More of us as pastors need to get messages out there to people. Now, you need to get your rear ends to church, too. Some people out there, get into a church that's following the Word of God. Get in there and grow and learn. So how did it happen? Are skinny jeans the problem? Well, they are a problem. They are the fruitiest looking things in the world. If you're a man, quit wearing skinny jeans. If you're a boy, quit wearing skinny jeans. Parents, stop putting your boys in skinny jeans. It is the fruitiest looking thing in all the world. It's disgusting. Really disgusting. Anyway, it's not modest. All right, we're going to keep moving on. Skinny jeans is not the problem. Well, what is the problem? We're seeing a nation of young people that are so soft that any opposition to their agenda is persecution. Anytime somebody says no to them, anytime someone tells them no, well, that's oppression. No, it's not oppression, you little runt. Didn't your mommy and daddy ever tell you no? No, they didn't. I watch kids as they kick and scream in stores because their parents say no. Some of them will no doubt give in to them and give in to their tantrums. Just like America wants to give in to the Tide Pod tantrums of these kids. They want to give in to their gun control tantrums. Why? Because they don't know how to parent. That's why. They don't follow the Word of God. They don't follow God's holy word, which has the answers for parenting children. So are you an expert? No, but God's word is. God's word is an expert. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. How do we have a nation of school shooters today? How do we have children that used to take rifles to school with them back in the day. Right? And no one killed anyone. No one would shoot anyone on a mass level like it's happening now. Some men will tell you it's all staged, it's all fake, whatever. I don't think the depravity is fake. I see it everywhere. Everywhere we go and everything that we do in this nation. And as always, the Bible, God's Word, has the answer. God's Word has the answer for the problems that are here. So let's look at it. Let's see why. Let's see why this is happening. I'm going to give you some answers from the Bible here and show you. Then I'm going to give you the statistics and other things that are going on or why these things are happening. Number one, let's talk about this. When God is kicked out, the devil is welcomed in. Look, when you kick God out, when you tell God you don't want anything to do with him in your schools and anything else, you're inviting Satan in. That's how it works. There's only two teams. Two, that's it. There's only two teams. In a nation or society or a school or anything else, if God is not welcome, then the devil is. The devil does not care what form you accept him in. He does not care. Buddhist, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Catholicism. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter to him. As long as you don't accept Christ and solely Christ alone. Satan's a harlot. He is the spirit of whoredoms. He is that spirit of whoredoms. He cares not for any standards. He cares not for any rules. Because anything against God's law is acceptance of Satan's. If you deny the God of the Bible, then you accept Satan and you can call him Buddha. You can call him enlightened principles. You can call him ascended masters. You can call him anything you want. He cares not. He's a religious whore. When school said the Bible was not welcome, it was forbidden, the devil got a special invitation to wreak havoc. Matthew 12:43 gives this principle. I talked about it last week. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also under this wicked generation. American kids, when the house is empty, when the Lord is not welcome, then the devil comes in. American kids are so detached from Christianity in America. They're so detached from biblical Christianity. They are gone. They have no idea what biblical faith is. They're atheists. They're agnostics. They think they're enlightened. The Bible talks about those two spirits, the mystery of iniquity that doth already work, and the mystery of godliness. There's two teams. One team just hides itself in many cults, many philosophies, and many different principles. But there is the Lord's side, and then there is everything else. So then the first reason America has ended up this way is a wholesale rejection of biblical principles. Now turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. I preached on this a while back directly. You can go back and listen to this sermon. It's called Romans chapter 1, a blueprint for destruction for society. You want to destroy any group, any people, anything else, you just go ahead and follow this blueprint here, okay? If you follow it, you'll destroy it. You'll destroy any nation. It says, for the wrath of God, in verse number 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. If you keep teaching people they come from monkeys, what do you think is going to happen over time? Well, they're just an animal. Right? Not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Man, you let a guy's imagination, we're going to talk about imagination a little bit. You let that go, anything can happen, friend. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. What do we see? They don't know if they're a boy or a girl. They don't know what they are. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Look at this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. See, that's that blueprint for destruction right there. The wholesale acceptance of evolution, the denial of the Creator, is what this leads to. So that's the first thing. When you indoctrinate children 40 hours a week, and you try to take them to church 2 hours a week, it ain't going to do anything. Homeschool. Homeschool. But let's move on here. Family life has been neglected. This is where I want to talk about children. Boys have been abandoned. The first institution of the family has been neglected. God made the home. He made them male and female. He started the family in the Garden of Eden. He made the man to provide and to go to work, and the woman to be a keeper at home to care for the children. Genesis 3, the foundation, the beginning. Jesus reiterated that. In the beginning made he them male and female. He laid down the order. He laid down what it was. God said, this is it. Man shall go tend the garden. Woman is to stand by her husband. She's to, in childbearing, she shall be saved, it says. What is that saying? It's saying that her place is in the home. Titus talks about keepers at home for the women, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You're going to see how important that is in a second. I'm going to give you some statistics here and show you this. After the roles of husband and wife are clearly defined, we move on to mom being home. You want to know what's really changed everything in America? Two things. Number one, mom not being home. Mothers should be home with their children. The Bible says, keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. God's word is blasphemed. Homes are destroyed. Boys are destroyed. They're deserted. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In 1967, I want you to listen to this now. Here's the statistic. In 1967, 49% of mothers were stay-at-home mothers. 49%. Now, that was still off. It should have been more like 100. But 49%, well, maybe not, because some of the fathers don't take care of their responsibilities, so moms have to work. So I get that. But 49% of mothers were stay-at-home moms. That proportion steadily dropped through the decades until 1999, when only 29% of moms stayed at home. Did you notice the decline that took place? And look at the youth of America. Look what's happened to them. That proportion steadily dropped through the decades until 1999, when only 23% of moms stayed home. Since 1999, the percentage of mothers who stayed at home began to increase again, rising by 6% to 29%. The researchers note that recent declines in the labor force participation rate and rising immigration were likely factors in the increase of stay-at-home mom rate. So it's not really America's families that are doing that. It's immigrants that are coming here that they stay home with their children. Because they understood, a lot of them come from traditional families that don't have a lot of money, where the father goes out and he works, and the mom stays home and raises the children. Still like that in those cultures. They also indicate that the rise in proportion to mothers who stayed at home will not likely continue, because most mothers surveyed would like to work part-time or full-time. Why? why don't you love God enough and love your children enough to stay at home with them and raise them? Why do you want to farm it out to somebody else to raise them? That's why our boys are growing up like zombies. Because a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Satan knew that if he got the moms out of the home, that's what was going to happen. You go listen to my feminism series that I preached, that I taught through, four or five part series on YouTube, on Sermon Audio. Go listen to the feminism series, the history of feminism, and you'll find out what happened, how we got where we did. That's part of this right here. Here's some more statistics. At-home parents benefit older kids, not just younger ones. Oh, duh. That's what God's word says. A recent study found the benefits of having a parent at home extend beyond the early years of a child's life. In the study, the educational performance of 68,000 children was measured. They found an increase in school performance all the way to high school-aged children. Well, of course, there's stability in the home when you know mom's there. She's there to take care of you. She's cooking. She's cleaning. She's loving her children. She's being a caretaker to her children. She's loving her husband. She has a schedule set out. She has organization set out. She has food set out. She has proper nutrition set out. She has love there for them. She takes care of them. She cares for them. She loves them. That's not hard to figure out. God's word said it all. God already said it all in his word. Now, science and other people, society is now catching up to understand this. It's not hard. It's not hard at all. The biggest educational impact in their research was found on kids age 6 to 7. Most homeschoolers also have an at-home parent instructing them. A compilation of studies provided by the National Home Education Research Institute shows a number of statistics that support the importance of a parent at home for educational purposes. For example, research has found that homeschoolers generally score 15 to 30% percentile points above public school students on standardized testing, and they're achieving above average scores on ACT and SAT tests. We already know that. When we see our children being able to read before other children even know how to read. Look, whether you're an at-home parent homeschooling your child or simply there when she gets off the bus after school, this person writes, more studies are finding a parent at home is giving children an academic edge over their peers without a parent at home. Regardless of whether you stay home or work, the National Education Association research has proven that parents' involvement in schools makes a difference in a child's academic performance and how long she actually stays in school. This is the same thing the Bible says. How about this? Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. How about labor force participation rates of mothers with children under 18? From 1940 to 1996, moms stayed home. The rate of the workforce was lower. It changed their behavior. Our children were better 50 years ago than they are now in America. 1940, only 8.6% mothers with children were in the workforce. 1946, it jumped to 18.2. 1956 to 27.5. 1966 to 35.8, 1976 to 48.8. You see the decline, the rise in the labor force for women and the decline of children's education and children's behavior. 1986, 62.5%. 1996, 70% of women with children under 18 are in the workforce. And we wonder why our children have no stability. Look, friend, you're not going to get into all this stuff when you have a mom home that's engaged in your life. And if my boy is doing something and my wife is there with him, educating him, teaching him, loving him, training him, he wouldn't get into that kind of stuff that easy. Not saying they can't sin. Nobody's saying that. They're little sinners. The point is, you're going to know if their attitude and their countenance changes. You monitor what they're watching, what they're, you monitor what the, what you're allowing them to read. You monitor the music they're allowed to listen to. Oh, that's terrible. No, that's parenting. That's what that is. That is parenting. Grow up. Your kids aren't your best friends. They're your children that you love and care for and nurture and guide, and you have a responsibility to be there for them. Amen. All right, good news for stay-at-home moms, knee-deep in diapers and temper tantrums. Two studies state you being home. Now, these are secular studies, okay? These aren't Christians. I'm just letting you know that. Two studies state you being home with your children during those early stages is better for your kids than them being in childcare full-time. Okay, you want to raise a zombie? Throw them in daycare. Remember, this is a pattern. You teach them they're monkeys. You throw them there. You deny the God of the Bible. You throw them in daycare. You throw them in daycare, and they have no natural affection. The Bible says that the children of this age in Romans without natural affection. Why? Because mom takes that innocent young life that's like 2 or 3 or 4 or a year and a half old and says, go to daycare. And they don't have mama's touch all day. They don't have that love from their mother all day. They don't have that attention all day from their mom. Why? Because somebody else is raising them that doesn't love them like a mom. And you throw them in daycare and you herd them in there. And what's it doing to their minds? Well, you're seeing what it does to their minds. You're seeing what it does. Indeed. The studies from the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development and the Institute of Child Development of the University of Minnesota found that children who spend a large amount of their day in daycare experience higher stress levels and aggression as opposed to those who stayed at home. Of course, they have all that aggression because they're not being loved by their parents properly. They don't have the attention that they need at an early age. You know, I remember when my parents sent me to kindergarten at a Christian school when I was 4 years old. I was not ready for that. I flunked for kindergarten. I mean, you can't really flunk it, really. But, I mean, they put me back into kindergarten again another year. I was scared. I was terrified. I didn't want to be there. I did not want to be around all these people. I wanted to be home with my mother. I did not want to be around these people. I don't care how much, how kind they were as a Christian. I didn't want to be there. I was not developmentally ready to be there. I wasn't. Follow-up research 7 years later after the original study confirmed these findings still had held true. So 7 years later, they did the same findings and they found the same results. Kids that grow up in daycare, they're full of aggression. They're full of anxiety. They're full of stress. Why? Well, the person that loves them, that birthed them, throws them in daycare with strangers that they don't know and tells them, you just develop on your own. Children face several cognitive and behavioral effects that are the result of maternal employment during their early developmental years, says this study. In this study, a questionnaire was distributed to 32 participants, 28 female, 4 male, ranging in age from 26 to 59 years. All participants had at least one child. Participants provided information about themselves, their spouse when applicable, and their children, as well as their and their spouse's work. Several cognitive and behavioral differences were noted between children of working and non-working parents, mothers. Differences were found in school performance, participation in extracurricular activities, and abnormal behavior issues. So their behavior is affected. Though of those children whose children attended out-of-home care, 42% reported behavioral problems with their children. 42% that shipped their children off to daycare had behavioral problems with their children. None of the parents who stayed at home with their children reported extraordinary problems with their children's behavior. Well, of course. At present time, most mothers in the United States are employed. This is not only true for mothers of school-age children, as it has been for two decades, but is also true for mothers with infants less than 1 year old. And by the way, if you have a husband, listen, husband, I'm talking to you here. If you're listening to this show, if you are a man and you send your wife to work and you can go to work and take care of things and you send your wife to work and make her put the child in daycare so you can have some extra money, you are wrong. You are not only wrong, but you are not being a man. You are derelict in your duty. You are forcing your wife to not be the mother that God wants her to be because you don't want to work harder or you want toys. I don't know which it is. I had one guy tell me, listen, I'd have to work 12 hours a day to keep my wife home. Well, then do it. It's Bible. It's the Word of God. Do it, you big sissy. You big coward. You big baby. Do it. See, I don't like that, Pastor. I don't like that kind of talk. Tough. I don't like seeing kids shot up with drugs. I don't like seeing kids shoot up schools. I don't like seeing kids do all those things, not having parents and not being loved by their parents. I don't like to see God's people disobey Him. That's what I don't like. All right. Furthermore, attempts to understand the effects often, the pace with which maternal employment rates have increased to this point, however, is so rapid that many people fail to realize its prevalence. Furthermore, attempts to understand its effects often ignore the fact that this change is part of the whole complex of social changes. You know, we're wondering why all this stuff has happened. We have totally revolutionized society. Societal norms are being destroyed. And you wonder the impact on young, impressionable minds. A few earlier studies found that sons of employed mothers in the middle class showed lower school performance and lower IQ scores during the grade school years than full-time homemakers. A third test was also found lower scores for sons of employed mothers in the middle class. It affects them. It affects young men greatly. They need their mother. They need the touch of their mother. They need the love of their mother. They need the direction of their mother. It teaches them how to love a wife one day. It instructs them. It teaches them to be a complete person. They need dad. They need dad being a man. And they need mom being a mom. They need that so desperately. Okay, yeah, social. They talk about daughters of employed mothers have been found to be more independent. Yeah, well, you're teaching them to be independent. Girls can thrive doing things the wrong way. Ability does not mean permissibility. Right? One finding from the 1970s was that in the blue-collar class, sons of employed mothers did well academically, but there was a strain in the father-son relationship. Of course. Of course. Okay. So you see, you realize that boys, they suffer with this. Now let's talk about boys and fathers. Let's talk about this. Why do these things happen? Well, let's look at this. America's had guns for 200 years. Guns haven't been the problem. They never were the problem. Well, what's happened to our boys? They're being deserted by their fathers. 1950s, only 6% had fatherless homes, and there were zero mass school shootings. In the 1960s, only 8% fatherless homes. There was one mass school shooting. In the 1970s, 10% fatherless homes. There were three mass school shootings. In the 1980s, 18% fatherless homes. There were eight mass school shootings. 1990s, 21.6 fatherless homes. There were 10 mass school shootings. In the 2000s, 22.4% fatherless homes. There were 11 mass school shootings. In 2010s, 29% fatherless homes. There have been 16 mass school shootings. Do you understand the correlation there? Fathers and mothers have abandoned their children. Many fathers out there, most of these homes they come from, most of the kids that do these things, they come from homes that are completely tore up. They come from fatherless homes. That's where they come from. I'm going to click on this article I have here. Let's see. Hopefully I don't get a bunch of dings here. All right, let's see here. Okay, that's it. Oh, that's another article I want to talk about, actually. Anyway, so I'm going to save that for when I talk about the drug portion of this. You know, because there is a portion that has to do with drugs. However, fathers have abandoned their homes. A father is to teach them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers used to teach their children stuff. Fathers that actually spent time with their children, they loved their children, they cared for them, they taught them. They taught them how to mow the lawn. They taught them how to clean the garage. They taught them how to clean their room. They taught them how to fish, how to hunt, how to hike, how to ride a bike, how to fix a bike, how to change a flat tire, how to do. Fathers taught their children things. They spent time with them. They're boys. They taught them how to be men by teaching them how to be a man. Teach them how to shoot. Teach them how to hunt. Teach them how to use a knife. Teach them how to drive a car. Now you have schools that want to do all this stuff. No, you don't need schools or Boy Scouts or anybody else. You need a father to teach you these things. That's what they need. Our boys are suffering. They grow up confused as to their duties because men aren't standing up and showing them. It's not just about me going to work and paying the bills. Half of them don't do that. But it's about me going to work, paying the bills, and being a father to you and instructing you and correcting you. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You're supposed to teach them. My son, over and over again, has said in the Bible, I'm going to read you these verses. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. You neglect it, you pluck it down. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. You got to teach him first. Look at this. I'm teaching them, right? I'm molding them. I'm teaching them the word of God. I'm teaching them life. I'm teaching them how to be a man. That's what men need. That's what young men need. That's what these boys need. They're deserted, though, today. They're deserted for football. They're deserted for people's friends. They're deserted for everything. They're deserted. My son, keep thy father's commandment. Well, first you got to give him some. That means you got to guide him. You got to instruct him. And forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Do you see that? So, parents, reproof and instruction are the way of life. How can I accept a man teach me? The wrecked family and the home life, it's destroyed our youth in this nation. Their behavior gets bad because they're neglected and sent off to the public indoctrination camp. Nobody's watching who they're friends with. Man, public school is the worst thing in the world. Let me tell you something. I was in a Christian school. And that was a challenge enough. People were bullies and mean and everything else. I got out of Christian school. A few months out of Christian school, I was smoking cigarettes. I'm telling you, I was in fifth grade. At sixth grade, I was smoking cigarettes. I was partying with people. By the time seventh grade had come, I was looking at Playboy magazines. And I was handing them out to kids. Do you understand that? I was looking at Playboy magazines. You don't know what your kids are doing. And now in the day and age of smartphones, where children just have open access to smartphones and you say you trust them, and you shouldn't trust them. There's a lot of wicked kids out there. Because a child left himself brings his mother to shame. Their behavior gets bad because they're neglected and they're sent off to the public indoctrination camps. Family used to do things together. Families used to do things together. Now they're never together. either watching the internet, a phone, the TV, or video games. Everyone splits and no one is unified on the same page. That's how your children can drift from you, and you won't even know it because you're too busy trafficking in the earth, going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Children are ignored today. When they're not doing hours of homework in public school, it's sports and everything else that makes them so busy they rarely have time for the family. They get so involved with friends, they are never with the family. The home is in shambles in America. It's sad. It's predictable. When mom left the home, it wasn't home anymore. No stability, no love, no warmth. So then that creates in children the desire for attention and to be noticed. Right? A desire to be noticed. So then out of the outburst in behavior comes that 42% of those children with maternal workers in daycare. They start exhibiting behavior problems. So instead of mom coming home, look, anytime your children have behavior problems, it's time to concentrate and focus on it and help them. Right? That's what it's time to do. But instead, that's not what's being done. So instead of coming home and parenting the children and giving them extra love and care and attention that they need, the next phase comes in. Children are then drugged to compensate. Our boys are being drugged . Children are then drugged to compensate. When children are not being taught by their parents, but total strangers that are indoctrinating them, they are then given drugs. What effect do the drugs have? Listen, I want to read you this article about drugged up boys. If you have a son, you have 1 in 7 chance that he has been diagnosed with ADHD. If you have a son who has been diagnosed, it's more than likely that he has been prescribed a stimulant. The most famous brand names are Ritalin and Adderall. Newer ones include Concerta and one called Vivanis, I'm not sure what that is, to deal with the symptoms of that psychiatric condition. Our boys are being drugged. And remember what I talked about last week, those drugs and devils. The Drug Enforcement Administration classifies stimulants as Schedule II drugs, defined as having high potential for abuse, and with use potential leading to severe psychological or physical dependence, according to a University of Michigan study. Adderall is the most abused brand name drug among high school seniors. In addition to stimulants like Ritalin, Adderall, Concerta, Schedule II drugs include cocaine, methamphetamine, Demerol, and Oxycontin. Now you think about this for a second. You know what the effects of a meth head are. You've seen it. Now, you're giving doses of it to these children, and you're wondering why they behave the way they do. The Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA, classifies stimulants as those Schedule II drugs. According to manufacturers of ADHD stimulants, they are associated with sudden death in children who have heart problems, whether those heart problems have been previously detected or not. They can bring on a bipolar condition in a child who didn't exhibit any symptoms of such a disorder before taking stimulants. They are associated with such a disorder before taking stimulants. They are associated with a new or worse aggressive behavior or hostility. They can cause new psychotic symptoms such as hearing voices and believing things that are not true, or new manic symptoms. You can call it maniac too if you want to. This is all scientific. It's all right there, these drugs. They commonly cause noticeable weight loss and trouble sleeping. Look, you don't sleep. You're hearing voices. You're going crazy. You're going to do something nuts. Nobody's loving you. Nobody's paying attention to you. Nobody knows what you're doing in your life. In some children, some stimulants can cause the paranoid feeling that bugs are crawling on them. Facial tics. Devils. Opens you up to devils. Pharmakia. I talked about that last week. Go back and listen to that. Sorcery. The end time sin. They can cause children's eyes to glaze over. their spirits to dampen. One study reported fears of being harmed by other children and thoughts of suicide. Imagine you have a 6-year-old son, a little boy for whom you are responsible, a little boy you could take a bullet for. You would take a bullet for a little boy in whom you search for a glimpse of yourself and hope every day that he will turn out just like you, only better. A little boy who would do anything to make you happy. Now imagine that little boy, your little boy, alone in his bed in the night, eyes wide with fear, afraid to move, a frightening and unfamiliar voice echoing in his head, afraid to call for you. Imagine him shivering because he hasn't eaten all day because he isn't hungry. His head is pounding. He doesn't know why any of this is happening. Now imagine he is suffering like this because of a mistake, because a doctor examined him for 12 minutes, looked at a questionnaire on which you had checked some boxes, listened to your brief and vague reports that he seemed to have trouble sitting still in kindergarten, made a diagnosis for a disorder the boy doesn't have, and wrote a prescription for a powerful drug he does not need. You know what ADHD is? A kid that needs some direction. Maybe stop giving him sugar. Maybe stop giving him sugary drinks. Maybe give him water and juice and maybe get his diet under control and parent him. If you have a son in America, there's an alarming probability that this has happened or will happen to you. 6.4 million children between the ages of 4 and 17 have been diagnosed with ADHD by high school. Nearly 20% of all boys will have been diagnosed with ADHD. At 37% increase since 2003. 20% of all boys. Do you understand that? 20% of all boys in America are told that they're ADHD. These parents are giving these children ADHD drugs. These doctors are. Who are the real sorcerers? Go listen to that one, Pharmaceutical Sorcerers. Think about it. They're drugging the boys of America. Look at the symptoms. Those drugs cause hearing voices. Somebody says, well, those voices aren't real. Oh, yes, they are. We talked about it last week. Go back and listen to the show I did on drugs and mass shootings last week. And yes, they are. They are real. They certainly are real. They're devils, and they're speaking to their mind. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a battle on for the mind. I showed you how in the last show I did about drugs working on the pineal gland and what some call the third eye. It opens them up to devils. There are many answers to ADHD. One of them is easier than others, I'm sure. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Those drugs, you know, proper biblical correction, proper teaching and training, being there for them. The Bible is called the rod, too. Teaching the Word of God. Those drugs have a major effect on the child and open them up to demonic realm, to the voices they are hearing in their head. You leave a child to himself and then give him meds, and you have the recipe for failure. You know, there's some other things about this. Let me get to this article about Adderall. Neuroscientists claim that Adderall is exactly the same as meth. The cannabis industry has recently come under fire for edible that might appeal to children, despite the fact that edible treats are sold in dispensaries and only for adults with proper ID. Okay. But now the FDA just approved a candy-flavored amphetamine, adenosines, and this is much more dangerous for children than cannabis treats, yet it is being marketed towards them. Recent government statistics show that 75% of children diagnosed with ADHD are being treated with amphetamine-based drugs. That figure alone is astonishingly high. Now render those drugs into a sweet, easy-to-eat candy, and you have to wonder how prescription and overdose rates might change. Even with a lower dose, amphetamines can induce the following overdose effects. Number one, increased heart rate and irregular heartbeat. Increased blood flow and unusual blood pressure. Alter the brain's dopamine reward pathways. You know, like pornography does in other drugs. tremors, shaking, twitching, and spasm. Rapid breathing, aggressive behavior, nausea and vomiting, fever, stomach cramping, fever, stomach cramping hallucinations. I did that twice for some reason, sorry. And in rare instances, amphetamines can include induced convulsions, coma, and death. The list of short and long-term side effects is even longer. The Dallas-based company behind the drug, Neos Therapeutics, has 125 sales representatives across the United States, and they are having no problem getting appointments with doctors interested in prescribing this formulation. There's absolutely no doubt that the drug is going to hit the market with vigor. There's a video that goes along with it. An article written by neuroscientist Dr. Carl Hart, a professor of psychiatry at Columbia University, explains it best. Remember that methamphetamine and diamphetamine are both FDA-approved medications to treat ADHD. In addition, methamphetamine is approved to treat obesity and diamphetamine to treat narcolepsy. You're giving your kids meth. In the interest of full disclosure, I too once believed that methamphetamine, says this doctor, was far more dangerous than diamphetamine, despite the fact the chemical structure of the two drugs is nearly identical. In the late 1990s, when I was a PhD student, I was told and fully believed that the addition of the methyl group to methamphetamine made it more lipid-soluble, able to enter the brain more rapidly, and therefore more addictive than diamphetamine. Anyway, Hart compares the effects of Adderall to the effects of meth. He also paints a picture of bias toward meth. The point? Adderall is dangerous, not only chemically, but also with its cunning acceptance in mainstream society. People see methamphetamine as dangerous, but they accept Adderall and diamphetamine as if they were perfectly normal. You cannot condemn one drug and take the other. That is not how it works. All right? So, anyway, basically, that's what that drug does there. Now, let's just talk about the Charleston shooter, Dylan Storm Roof, was reportedly taking a drug that has been linked with sudden outbursts of violence, fitting the pattern of innumerable other mass shooters who were on or had recently come of pharmaceutical drugs. According to CBS News report, earlier this year when cops searched Roof after he was acting suspiciously inside a Bath and Body Works store, they found orange strips that Roof told officers was Suboxone, a narcotic that is used to treat opiate addiction. Suboxone is a habit-forming drug that has been connected with sudden outbursts of aggression. A user on MD Junction website relates how her husband became violent, smashing things and threatening me after just a few days of coming off Suboxone. Another poster on the drugs.com website tells the story of how his personality completely changed as a result of taking Suboxone. The individual relates how he became nasty and violent just weeks into taking the drug, adding that he would snap and be mean to people for no reason. Another poster reveals how his son-in-law completely changed on Suboxone and that the drug sent him into self-destruct mode. A user named Jay Holloway also tells the story of how her husband's addiction to Suboxone was ruining our life. A poster on a separate forum writes about how he became horribly aggressive towards his partner after taking 8 milligrams of Suboxone. A website devoted to horror stories about the drug called Subsucks.com also features a post by a woman whose husband obtained a gun and began violently beating his 15-year-old after taking Suboxone. According to the Courier Journal report, Suboxone is increasingly being abused, sold on the streets, and inappropriately prescribed by doctors. For some users, it is even more addictive than the drugs it's supposed to help them quit. You know, we talked about the SSRI stories and the documents there. Pharmaceutical giants who produce drugs like Zoloft, Prozac, and Paxil spend around $2.4 billion a year on direct-to-consumer television advertising. That's the advertising. So the drugs are part of it. Giving your kids Adderall, right? Giving your kids methamphetamines. And you don't think that's going to have an effect on them? Well, we've seen what it does. Of course it's going to have effect on them. Of course it's going to destroy them. We wonder why our youth are going to hell. When a young man does act like a young man in a classroom, the teacher has no patience for him. So let's put these young men on drugs. That's why a parent parenting their children can say, you know what? No, your behavior is going to do this. You're going to behave yourself. They don't need drugs. There isn't anybody alive out there that needs those drugs. Those open you up to devils. and they cause this type of behavior. And the boys are being drugged, they're being drugged up, and they're turning them into zombies. Here's the next phase of it, okay? Well, first of all, no home life, raised by public schools, raised by daycare centers, drugs that lead to devils. There you go. Now let's get to the next one. How about video games and TV internet violence? After you've drugged them up, after you've taken away natural affection from them, you've removed God out of their life, you've taken away natural affection from them, no mother or father is caring for them, around them, know what they're doing, spending time with them, taking care of them, watching them. You say, how can you watch a 15-year-old? Easy, you watch them. You have them home with you. You take care of them. You don't leave them to their self to bring their mother to shame. God's way always works. Excuse me. Then you move on to this. After the drugs, after you've drugged them and made them zombies, now fill their head with violence. Now you go ahead and fill their head with violence. What does the Bible say? I believe it's in Genesis, I want to say 7, but, oh, nope, it's 6. I believe it's 6. Let's see. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. God saw their imaginations. God said that violence had filled the earth. He said that violence had filled the earth. He said it was full of violence, and God said that he was grieved with it. For violence had filled the earth. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God said he was going to destroy the earth. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Look, you can't fill your head and your heart with violence. Get them on dope, fill their head with violence, and expect that it's not going to affect them. It's all of these things that come together. It's not just one of them. Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine eye affects my heart. When you take out natural affection and you fill them with violence, you sear their conscience. 1 Timothy 4:1. You sear their conscience with a hot iron. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. God put a conscience in you, the deputy of the soul, but when it's completely seared, you got no feeling because of drugs, because of opening up that third eye, because of no natural affection. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. Nobody shows you affection. So let me read you some things. When young children see somebody shot, stabbed, raped, brutalized, degraded, or murdered on TV, to them, it is as though it were actually happening. To have a child of 3 or 4 watch a horror movie, learning to relate to a character for the first 90 minutes, and then in the last 30 minutes, watch helplessly as that new friend is hunted and brutally murdered, is the moral and psychological equivalent of introducing your child to a friend, letting her play with that friend, and then butchering that friend in front of your child's eyes. And this happens to our children hundreds of times upon hundreds of times. Today, the data linking violence in the media to violence in society are superior to those linking cancer to tobacco. Hundreds of sound scientific studies demonstrate the social impact of brutalization by the media. The Journal of American Medical Association concluded that the introduction of television in the 1950s caused a subsequent doubling of the homicide rate. Did you hear that? Caused a doubling of the homicide rate. Long-term childhood exposure to television is a causal factor behind approximately one-half of the homicides committed in the United States, or approximately 10,000 homicides annually. The article went on to say, if hypothetically television technology had never been developed, there would be today 10,000 fewer homicides each year in the United States and 70,000 fewer rapes and 700,000 fewer injurious assaults. June 10th of 1992, those statistics came out. violence has filled the earth through television, and it's filling these boys' minds. You can't feast on this wickedness and expect it's not going to have an impact. God says, mine eye affects my heart. Now we have adults that are murderers, violent racists, and cold-blooded killers. A new study in the Oxford Journal of Social Cognitive and Affective Neuroscience says that violent films, TV programs, and video games desensitize teenagers to violence and blunts their emotional responses to aggression. Although previous research has suggested that people can become more aggressive and desensitized to real-life violence after repeatedly viewing violent media programs, while in fairness others say it makes no difference, little is known about how the extent of watching such programs and the severity of the aggression displayed affects the brains of adolescents. You have a young mind that's growing and developing, and you're showing them wicked images of murder and wickedness and vileness and pictures of that in their head that burns an image in them never to be erased. It is especially important to understand this because adolescence is a time when the brain is changing and developing, particularly in the parts of the brain that control emotions, emotional behavior, and responses to external events, said Dr. Jordan Grafman, who led the research. Data from the SCR, showed that the boys became more desensitized towards videos the longer they watched them, and also they were more desensitized by the mildly and moderately violent videos, but not the ones that contained a low degree of violence. Data on brain activation patterns showed a similar effect in particular. The area known as the lateral orbital frontal cortex, the IOFC, which is thought to be involved in emotions and emotional responses to events, showed increasingly desensitized over time. This was the most marked for the most aggressive videos showing moderate violence in the study. It's affecting their minds. Then you have voices that tell you murder, death, kill, rape, and those images, sexual promiscuity, fornication, wickedness, all those things. Videos that talk about sex and violence and drugs and everything else. What does that do? Fills their mind with it. Desensitizes them. The researchers also found the boys who had the most exposure to violent media in their daily lives, as measured by screening tests and questions in their initial meeting with the researchers, showed the greatest desensitization. Violence is like the nicotine in cigarettes. The reasons why the media has to pump even more violence onto us is because we've built up a tolerance. It's like a drug. And when you see more nudity, when you see sexual scenes, you say, look, you want to see more, you want to see more, you want to see more, you want to see more. The desire for sin becomes greater. The eyes of a man are never satisfied when he fills his flesh with wickedness. So he wants to see more wickedness, more pornography, more death, more murder, more thirst for blood. In order to get the same high, we need ever higher levels. The television industry has gained its market share through an addictive and toxic ingredient, said Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, quoted in the Arizona Republic, May 27, 1999. By Tim Madigan. They conclude, we propose that exposure to aggressive media results in a blunting of emotional responses. That's why you see people on subways beat people down, knockout games, beat people down, and everybody else is watching. You see somebody get shot, and everybody just looks around and watches them bleed to death. Help them! You see police officers being beaten or, abused or whatever the case may be out there by certain people. And you see people watching and not doing anything. Why? They're desensitized. You see a woman assaulted and nobody does anything. Desensitized. They don't care. And therefore may increase the likelihood that aggression is seen as acceptable behavior. You know, when you start seeing pornography, when you start seeing murder, when you start seeing violence, it becomes acceptable for you to repeat that. When you continue to do that in your mind, especially at a young age. Social psychologist Brad Bushman at The Ohio State University once showed students violent pictures, one of a man shoving a gun down another man's throat and another of a man holding a knife to a woman's throat. What we found is for people who were exposed to a lot of violent video games, their brains did not respond to the violent images. Bushman said. They were numb, if you will. Bushman also had the students blast each other with loud noises. We try to make the noise as unpleasant as possible by thinking of every noise you hate. Bushman said. So like fingernails scratching on a chalkboard, dentist drills, and sirens. Students could make the sound as loud as a smoke alarm if they wanted. Some students in the experiments got really mean. Everybody was more aggressive if they'd played a violent game than if they'd played a nonviolent game. And the more numb they were, the more aggressive they were in terms of blasting their opponent with loud noise through the headphones, Bushman said. Christian homes have been desensitized to evil, to fornication. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such revelings, and such as like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21. All of that is on television. All of that is in people's minds on the internet, on television. Why do you think people don't fear God? Right? They're conscious, cauterized. Satan has used that. The Epistle of Romans tells us that the imagination plays a great role in the downward spiral that results in homosexuality and other moral perversions. It is impossible to have spiritual victory if one allows the imagination to dwell upon evil things. It is not difficult in this connection to see the danger of television programs, internet programs, and to see the role that video games and other violent video games have in the moral downfall of modern society. They fill their imagination with vivid images that linger and that return, even if not purposefully encouraged. They feed the fleshly nature, but it is never satisfied. The Bible says in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. See, it's not just one thing, folks. It's the lethal cocktail of all of it mixed together. And that's how we've come here. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. And what happened? The imagination of their heart was only evil continually. Back in Genesis, we see it in Romans. The society that's broke down, their foolish heart became darkened, right? They imagined things in their mind. Our young men have lost their identity. That's one of the problems. They've lost their identity. They've lost their identity, and they don't know who they are anymore. They don't know what it means to be a young man. I submit to you that if we don't get back to the Bible here, and I'm talking about some of these homes are Christian homes, quote unquote. Maybe they are. Well, you need to repent. Get your house back in order. Get mom back home where she needs to be. Get dad out working and taking care of things. Don't put your kids on drugs. Raise your children. Teach them. Get your kids out of daycare and love them. Don't put them in some cold facility somewhere. Oh, well, they're nice and it's this. Yeah, but God gave them to you. He gave them to you to raise. The Bible says they're your arrows. They're yours. They're not anybody else's. The violence that has filled the earth, all these things that have been added, right? All these things that have been put forth that I've talked about today, all these things are reasons why this is happening. The answer? Return to the biblical model. Return to the Word of God. I plead with you, parents, if you want this nation to turn around, start in your own home. Pastors, start by preaching the proper roles of a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. Raise your daughters to be God-fearing, holy women. Raise your sons to be strong, God-fearing men. Teach them to be masculine and strong and what a man really is, to work with their hands, to do things that they're supposed to do, to love, to protect the weak. Teach them the differences in man and woman. I don't mean just sexually. I'm talking about the differences between a man and a woman. The duties of a man, the duties of a father, the duties of a young lady, what God made her to do. Lead by example. And I believe that we can see victory in this area. I believe we can, but we're going to have to acknowledge what the problem is. There's some people that need to repent out there. If you've not been following God's order, you need to repent. You need to get it right. You need to change it. We're in a generation of zombies now, and it's because they've been neglected. They've been deserted. They've been drugged. I pray you'll hear this with the heart in which it was given and that you receive it. And if you do listen to this and you've never been born again, you don't know what it means to be a biblical husband or wife. You don't know what it means to be saved. Please repent. Turn from your sin. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Turn to Christ who is able to save you. The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. The Bible says, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe the gospel. You must beg God to save your soul, to change you, to make you a new creature, that you believe what Jesus did on the cross, that he died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. If you don't understand this, go back and listen to a sermon called The Gospel, which is able to save your soul, and it'll tell you how you can be saved. Brothers, we need to repent, get these things right, get our homes in order, so we can have the blessings of God, that the Word of God is not blasphemed. All right, this is Pastor Jason Cooley here with OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.